Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is June 26, 2020, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by the newbie, Eric Thornton. Eric, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Mike. How's everybody doing out there? Happy Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday. Quick week. And gosh, we're bumping up into the 4th of July. And you know what? This is your first podcast. So welcome to the pod, as they would say.
Yes, thank you. It feels good. A little bit of nerves, you know, but that's normal. I'm going to harness that and just have a great podcast.
Well, you know, they're not nerves, Eric. They're excitement. It's total excitement because today we're going to talk about something that, boy, we haven't talked on the podcast, and it's some expertise that you've brought to McKinney Flavelle. And we're obviously blessed to have you. And we thought we'd share with the listeners something new that we're doing that they're like, hey, you guys, yeah. I didn't know you did that, but you do. And what is that, Eric? What are we doing?
Yeah. So, you know, this is something that McKinney hasn't historically followed regularly, but, you know, we're here to announce a new category of expertise.
Whoa.
So breaking news.
Okay.
Yes, we're now going to be following the wheat market.
Oh my gosh. That is awesome. And, you know, we get a lot of requests from our clients about wheat. So, you know, you bringing this expertise to us, we're just, we're super excited about it. And, you know, those listeners out there, we publish, we're going to now publish a monthly wheat report, as well as a summary on our IQ platform, similar
That's
to
right.
what we do on sugar, corn sweeteners, and soybeans. So as I always say out there, Eric, and you know this, is that WASDE report, looking at the numbers, distilling it and making sense of it and what might happen.
Exactly.
Is, yeah, it takes a lot of time. It does. So
it does.
You do it for our clients, and that's awesome. So, well, why don't we give our listeners a little bit of info about wheat and give them a little taste of what we could provide to them. So why don't you give us a little intro on wheat, a little background.
Sure thing. And Mike, like you alluded to, we just had our first publication on the platform on Tuesday, the 23rd. So that's our first publication of the wheat monthly and the wheat overview. So go ahead and check that out. But
cool.
Kind of kicking right into, you know, a little 101 here with wheat. And when you're talking about where it's grown, obviously we're talking about the Plain States. So that area just east of the Rockies, west of the Mississippi. It's a gradually sloping land from east to west, and it's typically hotter, which wheat loves. And we have three major classes when we're talking wheat: hard red winter wheat, hard red spring wheat, and soft red winter.
Okay.
The hard red winter wheat, really we focus on the southern plains, so that typically has a mid-protein level, used more for breads, tortillas, etc. And your hard red spring wheat is more northern plains, so the Dakotas and areas in Montana, especially, we focus on that.
Okay.
More of a higher protein wheat and used in more bagels, noodles, those type of applications. And then the soft red winter wheat, you know, those are more of your typical cookies, crackers, a little bit of harder and higher protein levels.
Excellent.
And when you're looking red versus white, really that's just attributed to the color of the kernel.
Okay.
So hard red has a typical higher protein level than a hard white.
Okay.
And red is good for harder breads, white for softer, et cetera.
Okay.
But essentially, when they harvest the wheat crop and they're getting those kernels, they then will go to the milling process for making flour.
Okay.
And it's roughly a 1 hour long process, pretty efficient. And essentially, you know, there's sieves that'll separate any of the straw remaining from the field, sticks, stones, etc., from the kernels. And once they kind of harvest out those kernels, it'll go through some roller mills, will essentially crushing, grinding, and sifting into different parts to separate the bran, which is the outer edge of that kernel, from the flour, and the semolina, which is small particles of the bran and flour put together. So essentially from there, you'll sieve that, purify it, and then you can kind of add in your bran just to get different types of flour. So typically, you know, there's all-purpose flour, which is a 10 to 12% protein level, works well across multiple applications. You hear whole wheat flour often. That's more of a darker color, higher oil content, more fiber. But essentially, the more nitrogen that is added to your crop is how you'll get a higher protein level. So really higher protein will drive, more premium or more pricing for the farmer. And you'll see ranges in pricing there. So that's something to monitor is protein levels.
Got it.
In wheat. So that's certainly a driver for price. But
excellent.
That's just a quick little overview of the regions it's grown, things to focus on, and the types of flour.
Cool. Well, now let's shift over to fundamentally what's happening in the wheat market. Give them a little taste of what we would do in the monthlies and your outlook right now for wheat.
Sure. So new crop production for 2020-2021, we are looking at about a 1.8 billion bushel crop. And this is down a little bit from last year. We saw about 1 million acres come off of wheat in the prospective planning report back in March. But as we kind of look forward to next week and when we get the acreage report on the, I believe it's the 30th, we'll get a better idea of the final acreage for wheat here in the U.S. But there is some speculation that there could be additional acres for wheat at the detriment of corn, since obviously there's a huge amount of corn being planted, but where that's kind of fallen, soybeans and maybe even wheat get some of that acreage at the detriment to corn. But as far as ending stocks, they are expected to decline roughly 6% from 2019-20, down about 58 million bushels or so. So really, production-wise, not much of a change aside from the acreage reduction. But again, we could see a little bump here for the port report next week.
Got it.
And ultimately, supply is going to be pretty good in the U.S., and we're right now in the midst of the winter wheat harvest,
okay,
which starts in Kansas and kind of works its way up north, but we are right now about 52% good to excellent on that crop per the report on Monday for the crop progress report, down about 9% versus last year.
Okay.
So the winter wheat had a little bit of a tougher time throughout the winter months and in the spring, but harvest has actually come in a little bit better than expected with better quality and better yields, but a lower protein level. So we'll keep our eye on that, but winter wheat has been a little bit better than anticipated here for the harvest. And spring wheat right now is rated at 75% good to excellent.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was actually at 81% last week, but we have had some heat and a little bit of moisture, lack of moisture thereof. And so there is some need for rain up there in the Dakotas where spring wheat is typically planted. But crop's not going to be a detriment at all. I think we'll get that rain in the forecast, but there is some dryness, and the government kind of lowered the rating by 6 percentage points this week. So we'll keep our eye on that. So that's the spring and the wheat outlook. And right now, the WASDE for June had the yield at about 49.8 bushels per acre, slightly up from the May report. So we'll keep our eye out here as the spring crop continues to progress. But essentially, ending stocks will be a little tighter, but adequate supplies all around for wheat.
Got it.
That's the supply side.
Okay.
And the demand side of the things, the U.S. is a fairly large exporter, and they export roughly 40 to 50% of the crop each year. And the thing about wheat, really, when it comes to exports, is you have to kind of take a look at the global picture as well.
Sure.
So there's a lot of competition out there for wheat. And, you kind of focus on our friends to the north there in Canada. You go look at Argentina. India is a big supplier, not as much of an exporter, but other major exporters in the EU, we kind of look at France, look at Germany, and then go over into Ukraine and Russia. So those are kind of your top five or six exporters. And similar to the U.S., the global picture is even more supplied with wheat, and we are projecting very large ending stocks at 316 million metric tons, which is about a 16% increase year over year.
Okay.
And that is a record level. So wow, that is certainly a lot of wheat planned to be out there in the global market. So again, it's going to really pressure prices here.
Sure.
And keep a lid on things domestically. At the same time, you know, we'll keep an eye on exports for wheat throughout this year and see if the current projections that the government has will be met. But
got it.
Right now, they're looking at exports of roughly 950 million bushels here for the U.S. So again, stiff competition globally.
Sure.
And the crops are progressing nicely. Parts to kind of keep an eye on. There was a lot, some dryness and lack of rain experienced in Ukraine and Russia. So some of those numbers are still to be determined on their crop, but so far so good and no major concerns globally. And there's just going to be a lot of wheat out there for the U.S. to compete against.
Right. Okay. Right. Any other further words of wisdom before we let these folks get off to their weekend?
Yeah. You know, I just strategy perspective and risk factors, you know, similar to the other grains and soybeans and corn right now is weather. So obviously keeping our eye on that. But, you know, things are looking ideal for spring wheat at this moment after a slow start. And again, we'll keep an eye on the exports. But, you know, strategy wise, from a Chicago wheat future standpoint, you know, we've had a nice drop in pricing here the last two weeks as the winter wheat harvest has kind of trudged along with those, again, better than anticipated yields. So we've kind of come down from the low $5 per bushel range to about $4.80 per bushel. So we might trade sideways here for a little bit longer, but, you know, similar to corn, you know, I'd advise to kind of wait this thing out for better pricing here in August and September.
Got it.
To get kind of your nearby lows and, you know, say maybe if things progress nicely here and we do get a record corn crop like we're forecasting, that'll also pressure wheat. So, you know, I could see pricing come down to that $4.50 a bushel range and maybe even a hair lower. About 6 to 8 weeks from now.
Got it. Okay, great. Great recap, Eric. We're super excited to have wheat as part of our category. And, you know, next week, you're going on a crop tour throughout the country, and you're going to be giving us updates, right?
That's right. Yep. So I'll be making my way off of pretty much I-80 and I-90 heading west to east. So I'll be
oh my gosh,
taking a peek at, you know, what the acreage looks like for beans and corn along my trip and seeing how the early crop looks. So I'm happy to write some reports and take a lot of pictures and share that with our clients out there.
Well, and you know, you being the newbie, we decided that you should wear a tuxedo as you go through the Midwest. I don't know what you think about that, but, you know, or like a Nebraska Cornhusker corn hat. Isn't that what they wear?
Yeah.
They wear like the corn on their head. Yeah, I think that would be pretty cool. Well, we're excited for that. But, you know, before we let everybody leave, we mentioned our webinar this week, but we are launching that you worked on a CBD study to the public out there next month, and as well as we'll have a source of CBD for our clients as well. So if they're interested in developing products with CBD,
that's right.
Let us know. But I'm looking forward to that, and we're going to be doing a webinar here coming up next month on CBD to give you a little taste of what it's all about. So look forward to that. But Eric, thank you. You did a great job on your first podcast, and look forward to the crop tour. And as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every moment with your friends and family. And until next week, everybody, take care. Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.